The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Now, it's time for Ask the Expert, and we are in the garden this week with Brian Burke. So if you have any questions for Brian, you can get them into us via WhatsApp on 087 1400 106 or via email anton@newstalk.com. You can tweet us at AntonSavageNT or drop us a text at 53106 for a cost of 30 cents. Good morning to you, Brian.
How are you, Anna?
I'm just going to breathe. Chat away. thank you for giving up your Saturday morning. Questions have come in thick and fast.
Good stuff.
People are in full garden mode, aren't they?
Well, again, to an extent, this period we're in right now traditionally is kind of holiday season.
Okay.
So first 2 weeks in August, you know, traditional builders' holidays. And again, a lot of people go away. So the garden should be, you know, the summer garden should be in full bloom.
Yeah.
Summer flowering perennials. I mean, mid-August, we're on the cusp of autumn. So we're coming into that kind of period in the garden where you're starting to make preparations for the autumn and then battening down for the winter. I know it's a little bit premature. We're only mid-August, but things like lawn work will come into focus now. Flowering perennials. You'll be thinking about the winter garden and how to do your autumn cleanup. But for the moment, I mean, I don't want to be a wet blanket, you know. For the moment, the garden is still blooming. Summer perennials are still doing their thing. And of course, it's harvest time, you know.
Yeah.
Like if you did any fruit and veg, you can see, I know my own apple trees at home, I'm going to have a bumper crop of apples this year.
Oh, lovely.
And that's something that's a little bit fickle. It can be variable. You know, last year, anyone who was apple trees will know that the crop wasn't brilliant. But this year, it seems to be replete with apples, which is great. And if you've planted veg, if you've done simple stuff at home in planters like your beetroot, your carrot, your onion, your potato, your tomatoes, your even courgettes, marrows, things like that. All of that stuff is coming to fruition right now.
So your rewards are coming through for your forward planning. You're being rewarded now.
Absolutely.
I think I might have taken my eye off the ball because I've flowers dying in my hanging baskets and I'm thinking it's still summer. How is that happening?
Well, hanging baskets are notorious for drying out very quickly. If you think about a hanging basket, you know, it only has access to the water that you give it. You know, it doesn't have any access to groundwater. So they are notoriously fickle when it comes to watering. You need to really stay on top of it, you know.
Yes.
And when I say watering, we're talking about a good soaking, you know. And if it's up high, if you have one of those extendable wand things that you can attach your hose to, it's got a flexible top on it, and you can put a little hairpin shape on the top, put it up over the hanging basket, and it showers the water straight down into it.
Okay.
And you shouldn't be happy with a hanging basket water-wise until you see it seeping out through the bottom.
Right.
So don't just give it a quick dart of water. Give it a good, thorough soaking, you know.
Not giving it enough of a drink, obviously.
Yeah.
Doing a quick blast and hoping for the best.
Well, it's the same would apply for pots and containers. I mean, people have it. It's a bit of a misconception about how much water they need. You know, they only have access to what you give them. And also liquid feeding. So, you know, the food is important because the nutrients in compost in a pot will deplete very quickly, particularly if it's planted very densely, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So liquid feed, even an all-round feed like a tomato feed, once every fortnight during the growing season is important, you know.
Okay, you've answered my next question. Once every fortnight is enough.
I think so,
you don't want
to
overdo that either.
I think so, yeah.
I better get to the actual listeners' questions, will I, rather than just using you as a private consultant here. I have a sheltered corner in my garden and only gets the sun for a few hours in the morning. I'm after some ideas for plants that might be happy there. That's a lovely way to put it, isn't it? The more compact, the better, and a bit of colour if possible, please.
Okay, a few hours
person
in the
knows
morning,
what they want,
sun.
Don't they?
Okay. Well, again, I mean, if we look at the range of flowering perennials, so again, there's a perception out there that flowering perennials need full sun all the time, and it's not actually true. There's a few that will be quite happy in partial shade like that, a few hours in the morning. So perennials for shade, think AAA, AAA, right? The Astrantia, Aquilegia and Astilbe. There's three really good, solid flowering perennials that will work in a shaded spot, right? Another evergreen perennial called Huckera, which has a lovely kind of marmalade or to changing to deep purple kind of coloured leaf on it all year round. Beautiful plant and compact. And then shrub-wise, hydrangea. Hydrangea will tolerate a lot more shade than people
really
realise. Because it's such a prolific flower, people assume that it requires full sun all the time, but it's not actually true. It will tolerate a lot of shade. And another really good versatile shrub for a shaded spot is a thing called the Fatsia japonica. It's a really big leaf, has a large palmate leaf, gets to about 16 inches wide, the leaf I'm talking about. Really beautiful, tropical, exotic look in a shaded corner. So if you went with a combination of shrubs like that and the perennials I mentioned, you would definitely provide something seasonal and, you know, of interest, would provide a bit of spectacle for a corner like that. Again, there's a misnomer that if you have a shaded corner, you can't do anything. But
yes,
there's lots
which
you
I actually
can do.
Would have thought, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot you can do. Also, ground cover. Vacant spots in beds. Pachysandra, a brilliant shade-tolerant ground cover to fill those vacant spots and try and suppress those weeds, make it a little bit more maintenance-free.
Okay, lovely colourful corner when you're finished.
Yeah.
Is liquid or granular feed better for pots and planters, someone says?
Okay, I would always err on the side of liquid feed for pots and planters. Pots and containers, just like we mentioned there a minute ago. So an all-round feed that has a good combination of your N, P and K, your nitrogen, your phosphorus, your potassium. Bear in mind that pots, containers, raised planters, they only have access to what you give them. So watering is important, but you also need to feed them, particularly if it's planted very densely, because the nutrients will deplete quite quickly. So tomato feed, you know, typically the cap is 50 mil, mix that into a 5 litre, you know, those 5 litre bottles of water that yep. you get. Brilliant. Hold on to an empty one of those for your liquid feed because it's a ready-made measure. A cap full into one of those, fill it off with water and then just go around your pots and containers and feed them. Granular feed is better for plants in the ground. Just sprinkle them on the soil surface around the root ball of the plant and then when it rains, that will kind of liquidise and work its way down into the soil. But liquid feed, definitely for anything in a container.
More effective. Okay. Yeah. Can I have a go at fixing bare patches in my lawn now or do I have to wait until autumn? We're talking about four small separate areas, about 20 square metres in total.
Okay, bare patches in the lawn. I mean, again, as we mentioned a minute ago, we're kind of on the cusp of prime time for lawn work, you know? So, I mean, the impediment to tackling any lawn-related work during the summer, during the real dry months, is the requirement to keep it watered, you know, because we get prolonged dry periods. We've got a good bit of sunshine this year. So the impediment to any doing any patchwork on lawn is just the necessity to keep it wet, right? So this is the reason autumn is prime time, because the weather cools down a bit. The blazing sunshine isn't as relentless as during the summer and we get a lot more moisture. That's the reason that a lot of lawn work, reseeding of lawns, rollout lawns, patchwork on lawns, all of that is done in the autumn time. We're kind of on the cusp of that period now, so I would go ahead. But just be mindful, we still are in summer, and if you do get a prolonged period of dry weather, you need to stay on top of that watering. It needs to be kept moist. So if you have a mix of horticultural sand, compost or soil, and seed going onto a bare patch on a lawn, it has to be kept moist. And another piece of advice on bare patches, always try and give yourself a straight edge. Don't just let it kind of segue into the lawn that's around it. It'll end up looking kind of untidy. So try and edge the patch. Square it off, if you know what I mean, with maybe a half moon edger or a spade, and it'll give a nice seam for the new bare patch, for the new patch to kind of work its way up against the existing. It'll look a lot neater in the long run.
Brilliant. Okay. Any tips on what to do with a balcony? Ideas for flowers, etc.
Well, balcony gardening, again, we've become very, the kind of main, the knowledge, mainstream knowledge around balcony gardening has escalated significantly in the last number of years. People are really, you know, acknowledging now that it's a great opportunity to provide, you know, colour and little miniature ecosystems, miniature habitats, little, you know, habitats for insects, for birds, etc. So think about flowering plants. And again, we're back to our pots and containers. All you can do on a balcony is raised planters, pots and containers. So think about the mass, the weight, the overall, you know, heft of what you're going to do there. Try and keep everything quite light. And typical balconies, don't forget, typically have two solid kind of gable walls, if you know what I mean. You'll have your rail looking out over whatever it is, the green area or the parking lot or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But you'll also have two solid ends. Great opportunity for vertical gardening. So if you have a planter and a small light piece of lattice, it's very, very easy to train, you know, a native climber like a honeysuckle, even something flowering like a clematis, something like a wisteria, which can get a bit woody, but if it's managed, it would be perfectly appropriate. Passion flower, cup and saucer vine, things like that. Jasmine, because it's a microclimate, it will try very well there because it's kind of sheltered from the extremes of weather out in the macro climate, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
But just keep in mind that you have to stay on top of the feeding and the watering. So think about annual plants, because they're small and easy to change out when the time comes. Small perennials, small shrubs, and possibly a miniature tree like a miniature Japanese maple, because it's very compact, very easy to manage, and doesn't have that huge weight or heft, or it's not going to get too big. It's a balcony after all.
Brilliant. Okay. And it softens the walls and the whole area, doesn't it? Clever use of space.
Totally. And don't forget edibles, actually. That's becoming a very popular thing on balconies, you know. Small planters with fruits, with small vegetables, easy to grow things like radish, lettuce, beetroot, spinach, kale, things like that that you'll use in the kitchen. Herbs. If you're facing the sun, herbs need full sun. But if you are lucky enough to be facing the sun, south facing, you know, things like thyme, rosemary, you know, lavender, parsley, basil, all those things are available to you.
Brilliant. Okay. Yeah. Can you ask your gardening guest for ideas to keep window boxes and patio tubs watered while also being mindful of water in a hose pipe band county? It's awful seeing plants dying for the want of water, not to mention the cost of plants, and to see them dying. So she's trying to be mindful, but yet keep the plants alive. It's a fair question. And there's actually a lot of texts with that similar theme going on, Brian.
Absolutely. Like there's little tricks that you can do. You could introduce something called a soaker hose, right? So if you take a hose and perforate it every so often, and then just feed it into the back of your bed, and then set up a timer on your tap, right?
That sounds very complicated.
Not really. It'll send water into the hose and it'll leak out through the perforations in the hose, and it'll just very slowly drip feed and keep the compost wet. Another very simple trick, the 5 litre water bottle that you get in the supermarket, we mentioned a minute ago. When it's empty, keep the lid, perforate the lid, fill it, turn it upside down and bury it into the planter. So again, you have that little drip, drip, drip coming out through the top of the lid of the 5 litre. Put a couple of those into a big planter, or a 2 litre or a 1 litre or whatever you have. You know, just little perforations to allow the water to drip slowly.
It's a very clever way to do it, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that'll take a long time. You could go away on holidays and that still wouldn't be completely depleted by the time you come back, you know.
Yeah, and as you say, it's gradual.
Gradual, absolutely, yeah.
I'm sure you get asked this a lot, someone says, but there is a plethora of types of bagged mulch on display in my garden centre. I never know which one to pick. What's the difference between them and which one is best? Okay. I actually think that's a great question, because it is very confusing.
It can be confusing. Bagged mulch, again, when you go down to Woody's, the garden centre there, you look around and you'll see, there is a lot to choose from. Like, it kind of falls broadly into three main categories. There's the very coarse material. Then there's a kind of a mid-range material. They call it mini chip or wood chip. And then there's the very fine material, right? Now, it depends on what you're after. The really coarse material aesthetically is fabulous. They're all aesthetically fabulous. But the coarser material is probably the best of the three. In terms of my personal preference and what I think is better for your plants and better for the soil and better for all-round soil health is the finer material. Mm. Because what it does is, because of its fine nature, it forms a crust quite quickly. When it goes through a few wet, dry cycles, it kind of forms a crust, which means it's really good for weed suppression. Because it's very fine, it breaks down quicker and transmits all its nutrients quicker down into the soil, thereby enhancing the soil beneath it. The larger, coarser stuff takes longer to do that. Aesthetically, the coarser stuff probably looks a bit better. But for general soil health and general plant health and weed suppression, I would always err on the side of the finer material.
Okay, good advice. One last question for you, Brian. Any shrubs suitable for planting within a metre or two of a heat pump, cold output they have after that?
Any shrubs? Well, I mean, again, you'd be talking winter shrubs. So things like Mahonia Winter Sun would be perfect for that. That's an evergreen with a yellow flower in mid-January. Viburnum Tinus, again, evergreen shrub that produces a lovely dusty kind of pinkish flower, November through to probably February. Daphne Balua, fabulous winter flowering shrub. Daphne Transatlantica, any of those would be good options for that situation.
Brian Burke, you've pulled focus on me this morning and I'm going home to pay attention to my garden. Brilliant answers. Thanks a million for coming into us this morning.
Thanks, Anna.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.